the will of the Father that has already been done. That is the will of the Father that's already been accomplished. That is the will of the Father that's been forever settled and forever perfected. And there's nothing left to do that's already been done. Thy will be done on the earth is the only thing left to do, as it's already been accomplished in heaven. Amen? Glory to God. Turn your Bible to John 16. If you had any idea how God designed prayer, it's not supposed to be your little quiet time where you have to force yourself to get in there and just do it out of duty. He designed it to be so full, so amazing, so lovely, so glorious. I don't care whether you're entering in fellowshipping or receiving from Him. Everything about it is full of life. Amen? Glory to God. John 16, verse 13. Hallelujah. We're in Resurrection Sunday. What a glorious day this is. There's no day like this day where He'd come out of the grave. Hallelujah. The Father fulfilled His promise, swore to Him, I'm going to come and get you. The single solitary corner of wheat's going to fall in the ground and die, but I swear to you, I'm coming to get you. And I'm going to raise you up. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you. He swore to him in Abraham he would do it. And he also swore to you and I. If you be Christ and you're Abraham's seed, and heirs according to that promise. Everyone say, I am an heir. The book of John, 14, 15, 16, 17, it amazes me of how much depth. I don't know how long, maybe 2 or 3 hour conversation. They were in the upper room. Judas left. Those 11 apostles in there, he's having communion. He's about to go to the cross 3 days before his resurrection. All of this is happening. And he's giving them the incredible treasures. And I thought I was in it last year when I was making my ascension up into the mountain of God, into the mountain of the Father's love. But I'm finding it's just as glorious on the other side of the mountain where the Father wants to come now. Here, He wants all of heaven to come into the earth. Thy will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I believe that this generation is going to unlock more than any other generation previous to it. I believe this generation is going to walk in a level of glory, power, and overcoming spirit as no other generation ever has before. I believe it's coming fast. It's going to overtake us. You're going to look one day and say, what happened? We were here and now we're here. We were there and now we're here. How did this happen? The Spirit of God is going to stir His people in a way. He's going to put the feet of Elijah upon us. We're going to outrun the chariots. We're going to run in the speed of light in this last hour. We're going to walk in the light as He's in the light. And light is moving all the time. A fierce, powerful force of light. Amen. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. No darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's look at John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, the Lord speaking of the Holy Spirit here, is come, He says, wait for Him. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave. I'm going away, but I'm going to come back, and you'll see me again, but you're going to see me in a different way. But wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait for Him. He's your comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. He's your helper. He's your teacher. And notice what He says, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of Himself. Other people don't understand about the Holy Spirit. He's under submission of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus under submission to the Father. They completely, 100% submit to one another in perfect harmony. Always. Say always. The Lord sent Him from the right hand of God in His ascension. He sent the Holy Spirit. He said, He'll not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, He's getting His direction directly from the Lord. The Lord said, I can do nothing of myself. I only do it my Father. What I see my Father doing, I always say. My doctrine is not my own, He said. Even the Lord Jesus said that. Because it's not, I'm not doing the works. My Father's doing the works. And now he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit in the same way I am submitted to the Father. He's submitted to me. He does not speak on his own accord. He's going to speak to you what I send him to speak to you. The Lord's directing your training from the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, he's directing your training in the kingdom of God by way of the Holy Spirit. Everything the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, he puts you here for a reason, to hear these things for a reason. There is a reason for everything. The Holy Spirit is directing your course. Look at your neighbor. He said he's directing your course. He'll not speak of himself. He's on a mission just like the Lord was. He carries the Lord's agenda. The Lord carries the Father's agenda. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak to you. And I love this verse. He said, he'll show you, say, show you things to come. But if you look in the Greek, the word things is not there. It's not there. He shows you to come. He's going to show you. If you look all the way back to chapter 14 and the last part of chapter 13, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back and get you. And where I am, there shall you be also. But you're not going to know how to get here. You're going to know because it's a spiritual realm. And you're going to need my Holy Spirit to open this realm up. But you're going to come to where I am in the Father. But you're not going to know how to come until the Holy Spirit shows up. But he's going to show you how to come. Ekkumenai. How to come from one jurisdiction to another. He's going to show you how to get through the door. He's going to show you how to cross over. He's going to show you a spirit being first. And then a natural being. You've been given heavenly access. You're a remarkable creation because you have authority in the earth. But you have full authority to operate in the heavenlies. Because God in his genius plan in the restoration of mankind's dominion and authority had to put all of our inheritance in a heavenly place. Not upon the earth, so the enemy could never steal it again. He stole it once in Adam, and God said, that's the last you'll ever get. Enjoy that while it lasts. But I'm coming back to get it all back. In the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, I'll get it all back. I'm going to lay it up above you. So you can't, not above you, but above him. But you can come get it. Amen. That's why you have to understand. A lot of churches don't even, they teach such a social gospel, you don't even know you're a spiritual being. Listen, you got to get in touch with the things of the Spirit. Amen? You got to understand the things of the Spirit. He says, no man after the flesh. We're supposed to know each other according to the Spirit. Amen? He said, he'll show you how to come. He'll show you how to move to where I am. He's going to show you. Now notice what he says, he'll glorify me. He's going to glorify me, for he will receive, look at this, he will receive of mine. This is huge. He'll receive of mine, and he's going to show it to you. How do you think I know what's on these two pages if it hasn't been shown to us? What's in these pages is everything that I've presently, not everything, but most, about 90% of everything I have identified in the Word of God as yet is what the Lord has received in the right hand of the Father on our behalf. This is our inheritance. He'll receive of mine and he's going to show it to you. You gotta be shown what is yours. You have to be shown. Otherwise, you're just going to be a natural creature in the earth. And you're going to do things the world's way. And we're going to get world results. We have an inheritance that's above. Boy, is he teaching now how to open that thing up. Woo! 2 o'clock in the morning teaching. Glory to God forever. There was a day that I prospered outside of Union. The Lord said, that's not nearly as high as the plan as I have to prosper in a state of union. When you prosper in a state of union, you're going to start seeing daily kingdom manifestation all the time. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, all the time. He will show you how to come. He'll glorify me. He's going to receive of mine. And show it unto you. Well, what is his? All things. Look at your neighbor and say, all things. Everything you'll ever need. Everything the church will ever need. He received everything that you'll ever need for your family and your generations. He received everything the church will ever need for the salvation of the whole world. He received everything the lost needs for its full salvation, restoration, and deliverance. He received it all. Say all. Say all. All things that the Father has are mine. You understand the power of that statement? Look at that first page of notes. God, who at sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in times past by the fathers and the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir, say appointed heir, of all things. That was the fulfillment of his promise when he swore to Abraham that in blessing I will bless thee. We looked down the loins of Abraham and said, in multiplying I will multiply thee. And thy seed, in Galatians said, he saith not to seeds of many, but thy seed is one, which is Christ. The Father already did this. Say, it's done. Hebrews, in the volume of the book, it was written of me, I come, Father, to do thy will. I come to do your will, to take away the first and establish the second. And he says, wherein we are forever perfected. Say, forever. Forever! I want you to actually see that. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, say this man, this resurrected king, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever in his resurrection, say forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Matthew calls that the right hand of dunamis power. Sat down at the right hand of dunamis power. Say dunamis. Dunamis. He sat down. From henceforth, expect until his enemies be made his footstool. He will continue to sit down. That is his statement to all of us that the work has been finished. Notice what it says. For by one offering, one offering. One offering. He had forever, say forever, perfected them that are sanctified. Say, I am forever perfected. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It is finished. The inheritance is forever perfected. You are forever perfected. A new creation in the sight of God. Doesn't matter what your flesh says. God had to leave you in that flesh suit. If he didn't leave you in that flesh suit, you would have no authority in the earth. He had to leave you in that body. That's part of your overcoming. But that's not who you are. That body is for burial and baptism into his death. Your spirit is for resurrection. Amen. I am forever perfected. And I have a forever perfected inheritance. It's not going anywhere. It's not going away. It's not going to be stolen. It's not going to be taken from me. And we are going to apprehend all of it. Say all of it. He is the appointed heir. He forever perfected. Listen, he fulfilled. This is very important. He fulfilled the Father's will. In Hebrews 10, he said, in the volume of the book, it's written of me, I come to do your will. When he offered it up, it was forever perfected. In his resurrection, the Father says, now, son, you buried all things. You took that Adamic race. You buried it. Now you're the new breed. You're the heir. Now I'm going to reassign all the earth, all of its resources, the nations. I'm going to reassign all the inheritances. All of it is now yours as you are the appointed heir of all things. Say, all things. That's why he said, all things are mine. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. All authority. All. All. Well, why is that important? Go to John, back to John. Back to John. All the Father has, therefore I said unto you, he will receive of mine. He's going to show it. Listen, if you don't know what belongs to you, you'll never apprehend it. You'll always look in the wrong place for it if you don't know. Everything on these two pages, by the way, are sitting in the right hand of God, the right hand of dunamis power. It is yours. It will always be yours because He's made you joint heir to it. Amen. I love this. Look at the about three verses down. Blessed be the God. Say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath done, finished, completed. Not going to hath. Say hath. Blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I wish He'd have done it here. It'd have been a lot easier because we are sense, feel, touch type of people. We move by our sensory. We move by touch. We move by feel, sight. If He'd have done it here, it'd have been a lot easier to grasp. Why? Because we grow up in the sense realm environment. We could have grasped it a lot easier. That's what He did with Adam. He put it all here with Adam. And the enemy stole it. And became the god of this world system. And if God would have put it all here, the enemy could steal it again. Because He still has a legal lease on planet Earth. That's why He can steal. But He can't steal that one. Because He put it in heavenly places in Christ. He put it in a storehouse. The enemy can't get up there. He hates it. And He hates you ever knowing it's even there. He'd rather you operate in His system where He can manage your life. He don't even want you to know. Most churches will ever even tell you. Talk about the right hand of God. People will walk out. He put it there, far above. See, far above. His resurrection was your resurrection. You were raised together with Him, made to sit together. Everyone say, put your hand over your heart and say, I am a spiritual being. A spiritual being. Father, open the eyes of my spiritual heart that I can see, move, and operate in a realm that's not of this earth. If you are earthly, you will get earthly result. If you are heavenly, you will get heavenly result. When he came to Nicodemus, a lawyer, Nicodemus started talking about it. He goes, listen, I want to talk to you about heavenly things, Nicodemus, but you're struggling. No man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man that descended from heaven. Even the Son of Man that's in heaven talking to you right now. Nicodemus' head rolled around. His eyes went, but what did you just say? I remember when the Lord was first getting me into that realm, and I was so caught up one day. I just was caught up. I caught up after prayer, and I decided to go to Walmart, and I was still caught up. And I was walking around Walmart. I was in this heavenly place, but I was walking around Walmart. And I'm looking, and I ran into somebody, and they're just going like this, and they're, whoa, whoa, with their words, and I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm just in another place right now. It was the most amazing experience ever. It's like I was floating around that store and looking at people. I'm like, look at these earth creatures around here. I was just caught up, and this is the way the Lord operated all the time. This is normal for Him. It's totally normal. It's not normal for us because we're not taught these things. He said, the Holy Spirit, He'll come and He'll show it to you. You get with Him, He's going to show you not only what's yours, He's going to show you how to come and get it. He's going to bring you to where I am. All this I've treasured up for you. He's going to bring you to this place. He's going to show it to you. He's going to show you how to operate it. He's going to show you how to pray. And then I'm going to take over and I'm going to show you the Father. And I'm going to reveal the Father. In that hour that I reveal the Father to you, you're going to pray. He goes, I do not say that I'm going to pray for you. Stop praying to the Lord. He says it right in this chapter. He goes, I do not say that I'm going to pray for you. The Father Himself loves you. He says, pray to the Father in my name. Amen. All right. I'm going to show you something God got over to me. Okay. So He gets into this little discourse in a little while. Verse 16. Say, in a little while. You'll not see me, and again in a little while you shall see me. He's picking up something from John 14. Okay, look at chapter 14, verse 18, because he's picking up on this little while here. Right here, he comes right back to this. Okay, chapter 14, verse 18. I'll not leave you comfortless. That word comfortless means orphan. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. God is going to crush the orphan spirit in this last hour. God is going to have a bridal company of sons and daughters that know who they are. No more orphan dysfunction. Full-age sons and daughters dwelling in the love of the Father, operating in the love of the Father. Yet a little while, I goes, I'll come to you. I will come. I'm going to come and get you. Well, he's going to come and get us, and we're going to go to heaven. Well, you kind of are, but he's not talking about heaven is the afterlife heaven. Verse 19, yet a little while, the world will see me no more, but you'll see me. Say, you're going to see me. Because I live, you're going to live. And in that day, you'll know. In that day, that's a powerful, powerful scripture. In that day, you'll know that I dwell in my Father, you dwell in me, and I in you. In that day, you're going to understand the union that my Father and I have, because you're going to be brought into it. In that day, well, he's talking about afterlife. Okay, go to chapter 16. There he goes, chapter 16, in a little while. Verse 16, in a little while you'll not see me. He says exactly what he said in 14. And again, in a little while you'll see me, because I go to the Father. And some of his disciples said among them, what is he talking about? What is he saying a little while? You know how many times he mentioned a little while? He told the Jews in chapter 5 and chapter 7, he said, in a little while, I'm going to go to my Father, but you cannot come. He told him that. In a little while, I'm going to go to my Father, but whether I go, you cannot come. You know why he told him that? He goes, because you seek to kill me, you reject the doorway the Father has given you to truly know him. You're not going to be able to come to where I am. But to the disciples and you and I, he's saying, you can come. You can come to where I am. Say, you can. I got to move. I'm moving too slow here. Amen. He's, verse 22, and now you have sorrow, but I'll see you again. Your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man take from you. Now, I want to ask you a question. He's talking about afterlife here. Why is he introducing prayer? If he's talking about afterlife, in a little while, I'm going to see you again. You're going to be with me forever, and then you're going to pray to the Father. You're not going to need to pray for him. You're in heaven now. He's not talking about the afterlife. He's talking about now. Heaven on earth now. And in that day, what day? The same day that he was talking about chapter 14, that you know that you're in me and we're in the Father in that day. Oh, now we're getting in there. What's your neighbor say? We better get it. Boy, I am all over this day right now. I am in it. I am on it, with it. Locked in, loaded. I've been trained for this. You know what a double-minded man in James 1 is unstable in all ways? A man whose loyalty is divided between the world and God. I say I want this. I say I want this. I pray, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do not allow yourself to be separated and be withdrawn from it. Ever start something and not finish it? That's what God says. Your loyalty gets divided because you start something with God and you don't understand your enemy. When you start something with God, God is going to require you stay with it to the end. The enemy comes in and he starts dangling carrots and he'll start bringing a barrage of circumstance. He'll do all kinds of things either discourage you. If he can't discourage you, he'll try to buy you. Anything he can do to offset you from that position. To keep you in a position that's offset all your life so you're not connected. He wants to breach the connection. And he wants you to withdraw. And what he'll do is he'll offer something and you withdraw. You get over here and everything looks rosy. And once you withdraw enough, he lifts the veil. It's not rosy anymore. It's thorns. It's only rosy until he can create the disconnect. You ever notice that? You ever enemy offer you a bed of roses? It's just amazing. Look at this. He's designing to do that. It's the allurement of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He enamors you with it. Ah, that looks really good. What about the tree of life? Well, I like the tree of life, but look at this tree over here. But God, have God really said you can't touch this? And he's over here. All of a sudden, you get enamored with it. And you're so enamored, he creates the disconnect and he lifts the enamor and it's nothing but thorns. And now you're in a thorny bush, but you don't know how to get back. It takes a long time if you're not skilled to learn how to get back. God's always getting you back. If you notice that, he's always resetting you, always recalibrating, always realigning. Why? Because your future is in that alignment. I remember I was laying right here 2 months ago, right there, for an hour and a half on a Wednesday night service. And God comes over me and speaks to me. He says, your future is in the Father and only in the Father. And there's no use for you looking anywhere else. He realigned me. Got me back up in there. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to do it perfectly. You just stay with him. Amen. He's so patient. He just will keep bringing you back in. Amen. Whew. In that day, okay, we got enough of that day. So in that day, you know you're in me and we're in the Father. In that day, you're in the union. He'll talk about it again. You shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily. Boy, did those two words knock me upside the head yesterday. He said, he spoke to me. He goes, look at the New King James Version on that. Who has a New King? New King? What's it say? Most assuredly. Say most. And I mean that rung through me. He said, son, most assuredly. Listen to what I'm saying. If you ask anything in my name, most assuredly, my Father is going to give it to you. Most assuredly. He doesn't say that all the time, but he said it there. Most assuredly, he will give it you. Most assuredly, I hold that. You know, he said, keep that word until the manifestation comes. Hold that in your heart. Don't let that go. For that word right there is the catalyst to receive from the Father. Hey, people make faith a lot difficult than it really is. Faith is all a matter of holding a word until everything else aligns with that word. If you'll just hold it, your flesh will align, your belief system will align, the circumstances will align, the system of the world will align. The enemy knows that. So what he's going to do is try to snatch that word out to get you back operating in the normal. I just hold that word every day. I wake up and say, I just hold it again. Most assuredly. Most assuredly. If you ask anything in my... He left it open-ended. Well, he didn't mean anything. He did mean anything. He meant whatsoever, and he meant anything. If you ask anything but, he said, in my name. Say, in my name. Well, okay, so I ask in the name of Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. You got to find out what's in the name, because the Father put it all in. He just said, all that the Father has been given to me. If you find out what's in the name, then you can ask for it. Because if you ask anything according to my will, you know the Father hears you. If the Father hears you, you'll receive that which you've asked for. What is his will? What is his will? His will has been what is done. What has been done? For the benefit of the teaching, I'm shaking the two pages of notes. All things. Whatsoever. That the Father has is mine. It's been put in my name. If you ask anything that's in, everyone do this. My name, what's in his name? Well, I got to get a revelation. Whatever he ascended and received. How about this one? Oh, I love this one. I love this one. Revelations 5:12. The elder shouting with a loud voice. They're looking at the Lamb of God. He's standing in the throne of God in his full-blown resurrection. And they're saying, worthy, say worthy, is the Lamb that was slain. And he's resurrected now, and he's received. He's received all power, all wealth, wisdom. Say wisdom. Strength. Honor. That's favor too. When God honors you, that's His favor coming over you. Favor, honor, glory, and blessings. He's received those seven inheritances. And you're joint heir to every single one of them. They're in His name. They're in His name. They're in His name. Most assuredly, I say, if you ask the Father for what's in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto, you've asked nothing in my name. Because you don't have a clue what I'm talking about yet. Because He hadn't been resurrected yet. Hitherto you've asked nothing. Ask. He's saying ask. Would your neighbor say ask? And you will receive that your joy may be made full. We'd have a whole lot more joyous people if they got begin receiving answered prayer from the Father. Think about that. We would be far less dependent upon the world. And far more dependent on the Father. And I'm finding out this is a glorious exchange. An amazing exchange. I'll be getting into a lot of this in the coming weeks. I want you to go to, because I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me somebody needs this. I'll finish this teaching up here. Isn't it good? Most assuredly. Go to the bottom of page 2. This is Isaiah 53. It's the great substitution identification chapter. Whatever He substituted is yours. Hey, look at the top of page 2. This is amazing. For you know the grace. Do you know the grace of the Lord Jesus? That though He was rich, He became poor. He took your generational poverty. He took it. Now, if you really understand this, poverty, debt, lack, need, destruction. The whole system has already fulfilled its mission in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have the authority to do what it's doing. It's already, because He took it in your place, your poverty, and He handed you His standing of riches with the Father in His ascension. He gave everything the Father has given to Him, He's given to you. He took your need. And it fulfilled its full mission already upon Him. It doesn't have the authority to do it again. That's why I said He makes an utter end of the affliction. And it will not rise. See, it will not rise a second time. Isn't that glorious? Woo! So listen to this. This is very powerful. This is my first close. I'm close. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not His mouth. He stood dumb. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is dumb. He opened not His mouth. When He went in the Sanhedrin and they were accusing Him, He stood dumb. He withheld the wisdom of the universe. He could have told them the molecular structure of the very seat that they were sitting on before Einstein had ever showed up. He could have told them, He could have read every single one of them's mail, their black mail, the whole mail. He could have looked at the high priest and said, you know, I happen to know what you're doing. He could have read every one of their hearts. He stood dumb before the shear. The day He stood dumb, it cost His life. It cost His life. He withheld His wisdom. He stood dumb on your behalf. That Jesus might be made unto you wisdom. So all the wisdom of God and all the wisdom of the Father could be made available to you. Because He, in standing dumb on your behalf, took the penalty. And it cost Him death. He could have given and freed Himself right there. All He had to do is come out with the wisdom of the Father. And He could have freed Himself, but He was standing in our position. He took. That's why wisdom says, come to my table, forsake stupidness. Don't be stupid anymore. Come to my table, it's been prepared for you. You don't have to have the spirit of stupid anymore. Come to my table. Come, Jesus, say, Jesus, been made unto me. Wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father to give it to all men liberally, abundantly, abundantly. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do not disconnect from the process. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's loyalty to the world and loyalty to God. You can't go with God and the world. They compete with one another. One of them's got to go. You're going to have to make a choice what you're going to hold to. I choose his word. I cleave to it and I won't let it go. Most assuredly. Say most assuredly. I hold that one now when I'm my request. Most assuredly. Most assured, whatsoever I ask in your name, there's a lot up there in his name. My suggestion to you is start with something. Start with something. There's a whole lot of stuff up there. Amen. You're not going to get it all in one day. If you hadn't got any of it in the last 40 years, you're probably not going to get it all in one day. I know you're Superman faith, but listen, start with something. That's what God said. Why don't you just start with something? Get something under the umbrella of my kingdom. Receive something from the Father and just from the Father and nowhere else. Receive it as a lily. This lily can't go, this little lily right here cannot leave this little pot. You see that? That lily is confined. How'd you like to be a lily? Not even Solomon in all of his glory is arrayed like one of those beautiful lilies. It's amazing. When I go in that place, they're all white like that. Listen. This lily doesn't get to go out and shop at Macy's. This lily doesn't get to go out to the mall. This lily doesn't get to go out wherever you shop. This lily is 100% dependent on the Father clothing it. It's not going to be able to clothe himself. It's not going to be able to leave this little 4-inch circumference. It's 1 foot circumference to go find its clothing. How'd you like that kind of faith? That's the kind of faith he was saying, listen, can you not have the faith of a lily? If the Father would so clothe this lily, which today is and tomorrow, there's not even any guarantee this thing's not going to wilt by tomorrow, but the Father will clothe it today. How much more will he not clothe you? How much not more will he provide for you? How about the sparrow? Okay, sparrow, he didn't get to sow or reap or lay up in barns. He didn't get to go engage in commerce. Yet your Father's feeding him. Will he not feed you? How about the little child? He said, who shall be greatest in the kingdom? He that humbleth himself, what? As a little child. Not just a child, little child. Say little child, what's that, 4? 3? 4? Have you ever seen a 3 or 4 year old? Clothe themselves, feed themselves. You ever seen a 3-year-old at the stove? Oh, I got dinner tonight. Don't worry about it, Mom. Our hamburger helper, it'll be there just a minute. 3 years old, I got the steak on the flame. 4 minutes on this side, 4 minutes, I got it, yeah. 3 years old, just perfect language. I got it, don't worry about it. You just sit right back there and I got it. Little 3-year-old can't clothe himself, can't feed himself, can't make his own steak. He said, if you can come to the place in your own sufficiency where you could just humble yourself to receive from your Father as a little child, what's that mean? Abba, I can't do this without you. Abba, I can't do kingdom without you. Abba, I come to receive. I position willfully myself as a little child and I let you be provider. You know what we don't? We don't ever let him do anything because we're too busy doing it ourselves. We step in all the time. God said, oh, I wanted to do that for you. I wanted to do that one too. Oh, you made a big mess of that. I could have done a lot better job than that one. Let's try over here. Stop. Wisdom cried to stop. I got this, God. Watch. I'm your heir. Watch what I can do. We come back, okay, I blew that one. God said, let's try again. Isn't it amazing? He's trying to get us to a little child just to learn to freely receive without helping him out all the time. God does not need our help. He needs our faith. And there's a huge difference. Amen? God needs us to get out of the way and exercise faith. Most assuredly, I say, if you can become as a little child, and whatsoever you ask in my name, if you'll stay with it, my Father will give it to you. Amen. Say, my Father will give it. I'm closing now. Go to 14, chapter 14. I sense the food is ready. Lunch is ready. I'm loving this. I'm really getting this about receiving from the Father. I find out very few people actually know how to actually receive direct from the Father. Not very many people know how to do this, actually. And God wants to change all that. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 13, we'll close. Say, whatsoever you ask in my name. What's the first order of asking in his name? Identify what's in his name. How do I do that? Holy Spirit will show you what is mine. All that the Father has is mine. He's going to show it to you. Find something and get started. I'm sure there's something on those two pages that you probably need. Amen. Well, I don't need anything. You're selfish. I'm selfish. I just said I don't need anything. You're selfish. I'm selfish. Yes, you're selfish. Because maybe the world needs what's going to come through you. Maybe you're the only conduit to the Father. And if you walk around all your life saying, I don't need anything, you're not going to be any good for you or anybody else around you. Because you won't have anything to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. If you ask anything, this is the whatsoever. Don't you like the whatsoever? I love that God left that open-ended. God's not going to limit anything. Whatsoever. He's got a lot of stuff in his name. That will I do. Notice what he says here. And the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Say, I will do it. I will do it. Notice what he said in chapter 16. If you ask anything in my name, my Father will give it to you. But if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Father is the only one authorized to transact in the name of Jesus. He's going to release it from the heavenly inheritance. Once it gets released from the heavens, the Lord said, now I have the authority to do this for you and to manifest this in your realm, in your jurisdiction. My Father will give it from my name, but once he gives it, I'll do it. And he said, I'll do it. Believe it. Stay with it until it happens. We are a generation that's about to unlock the entire right hand of God. Thy will be done, Father, on the earth as it's already been done in heaven. It's all in the name. It's all in the name. It's all been accomplished. It's forever perfected work. There's nothing left to do. It's finished in heaven. All that's now is for us to begin the receiving process to get it into the earth as it is in heaven. There's a whole lot of stuff up there. It's the right hand of dunamis power. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Say, Father, I am a little child. I am a lily and I am a sparrow. I receive freely. You that spare not your only son. How shall you not by way of him and through his name freely give me all things? It is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom, the whole kingdom. The whole 100-fold kingdom. Lord, we celebrate your resurrection today. We are sons and daughters of resurrection, raised together, made to sit together with you. And today we receive as joint heirs with you. We sit at the right hand of dunamis power. We receive from your glorious name. Oh, it's all open. I hear the Spirit of the Lord, the heavens are open. They were never shut. The heavens are open. The name, it's all in the name. 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 It's all, put your hand in your heart. It's all in the name. It's all in the name. It's all in the name. Grant me wisdom. Open the eyes of my heart to see what is in that name for me. My future is in His name. He ascended on high, led captivity captive, and received gifts. He's received your office. He has your office. He has your destiny. He has your future. He has it all. The Lord has it all. He has it. I have your future, son. You're worried about your future. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I have your future. It's in me. Oh, don't look to the world. Look to me. It's in me. Set your eyes to be interwoven with me, and your whole body will be full of the light of your future. Your whole being will be filled with light. You'll know who you are. You'll know where you're going. You'll know. You'll know. You'll know. Clothe us today, resurrection life. Clothe us today. Happy resurrection day, Lord. Happy resurrection day. Happy resurrection day. Happy resurrection day, Lord. Happy resurrection day.